gone caroling this week. Four of us went. And I was the best singer out of the whole group, so ever. It was Alan and Jen and Pam Hetrick and myself, and we did the singing, and they felt sorry for us. Actually, they came to the door. We went to our old neighborhood. I have a habit of going back to my old neighborhood and meeting my neighbors. We see each other once a year, so that's when we see each other. And what a good time. Boy, what a good time. It was good, wasn't it? So I've heard in the community groups, they've gone out and, you know, we've just enjoyed the Christmas season so much. And we have a week more, which is a real joy. All right, I have a small exercise for you. So I'd like you to stand up and read Isaiah 9 and verse 6 so you get a chance to talk to your neighbor for a moment and kind of get sharp, kind of wake up by a challenge. So here it is, Isaiah 9, 6, read it with me. For unto us a child is born. Are we there? Okay. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I want you to see there, just a note. A child is born, that means a human being formed in the womb. A son is given, that means God's son, who always was, is given to us. So there you have the hypostatic union. Flesh, a child, and a son. The Son of God, who always was, always will be. Isn't that a good lesson? Already you learned something this morning. And Pastor Bailey, thank you. Very good message. Very good. Okay, verse 6. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's the part. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Say it with me. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The child is born in Bethlehem, grows up to be a man, that he is the Son of God, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Is Christ God? He is. He's called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Okay? The challenge for you this morning, in a few words, is to explain to your neighbor what that means. The government shall be upon his shoulder. I'll explain it to you this morning in simple terms, but there it is. What does it mean, the government? The government, what government? Heaven's government and the earth's government will be upon his shoulder. Okay, go ahead. Talk to your neighbor. All right, you may be seated. Before we start, I'd like to just share two words that are important in the Greek language. And it's just only simply to make a distinction between two ideas. One of them is this word, sunthike. It's used for a contract or a covenant that is made between two parties. And it is often, it was used in classical Greek for a marriage agreement. Will you take this man, will you take this woman, I do, will you take this man, I do. They agree, and there are conditions on both sides of the agreement. This is two parties that are agreeing, and there are conditions with regards to the two parties. You could say it in buying and selling. I agree to buy this car for X number of dollars, and then they negotiate the agreement, and then they make a decision, and the sale is made. Two parties agreeing. But there's another word, and it is different, but the same is used for contracts, diatheke, in it, but this is a different arrangement. This is a agreement that is made by one party, and the other party has no conditions. It is only decided by one of them, and it is used in the sense of a will. When someone decides in their own heart and mind to give you money at their death, when they die, you receive an inheritance. This is an agreement that is made by one person, and you are not a party, or the conditions are not there on your part. That is, I suppose a will could be made conditional based on the recipient, but generally, no. I have decided to give this to you. This word is the word that is used when God said, I made a covenant with Abraham. When I made an agreement with Abraham, it wasn't based on conditions that he had to fulfill. It was unilaterally decided by God. This word covenant for us is important because it reveals to us the nature of God in his goodness and his own decision-making, that he decided in himself regarding you. He decided what he would give you, not based on your performance, but based on his own grace, his own nature. This is fantastic because it provokes us to study and understand what it is that who God is and what it is that he has done for us and what it means to, for us to be recipients of such amazing love. It also provokes us to think about how it happened. How could God in himself decide in himself to give such great grace to us when we were lousy in our performance, confused in our own minds, lost in our sin? I really believe that the Christian life has to understand two things that generally are we run past them. One is sin. This is an amazing word and has a lot of meaning to us. Sin is downplayed. It's not used generally. The word isn't used in our popular culture. Sin, the word is a Bible word, and we realize what it is when we come under the conviction of the Spirit. How wrong I am. How wrong my motive is, how wrong I am as a person, how my motives are not pure, how wrong, just lost And there are many words, we can go run through them. There's eight in the Hebrew, 12, depending on how you count them, in the Greek. These words of like making a mistake, which is a light meaning, and then real rebellion and deliberate violation, missing the target on purpose, shooting at another target altogether, not to mention missing one when you're trying to hit it, and then even hitting the target directly right on with an attitude of arrogance. These are just word pictures for it. In any case, this is overlooked. And the second word is love, and how much we need to learn what that is. Love. God's love. Well, Christmas season is a celebration of God's great, incredible, wonderful work where he has decided to carry the whole thing on his shoulder. And to use it to speak about it, by way of illustration, I like to think of a mess and a leader, manager, owner, dad, or mom going into the mess, getting under it, you know, getting deep, as deep into the mess as you possibly can, getting under it and lifting it up and carrying it on your shoulder. A weightlifter, maybe. He gets, yes, lift that weight. He has a decision. I'm not lifting the weight. I'm not doing it. I'm not going so low. Or I cannot do it. Or I have no interest in it. Or it's not my job. Or do you expect me to do that? Me to get dirty? Me to get messed up? You expect me to be a servant, for me to carry a load? And we have to ask God, how could it be on your shoulder if you don't become a human being and get into the mess as deep as you possibly can, as low as you possibly can? How could it happen that with a child? Unto us a child is born, a son is given, so that he could get in, get as low as you can possibly imagine, and get under that, and then get up, and get up, and carry it, and say, it is mine. You know, Pastor Lange, through the years, has shared this amazing thing on leadership. And it is so profound that there is leadership that looks for privilege, and then there is leadership that looks for a responsibility. When we see the incarnation, we see responsibility. I will go. I will do it. In my name, mighty God, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Look at those words in this context. Underneath, you know, the sins of the world, the accusation of the devil, the darkness of the lies, everything, he's in it. And he is doing it. And what is his name? Mighty God. Listen to this word. Counselor. I'm a counselor for you. When you are messed up, I have been there. I cannot imagine a sin in the world that a human being has suffered from where Christ wouldn't say, I know what it is. I identify with you. I have been there. I have not sinned, but I have paid for it. I have redeemed you by my blood. I have borne your sins in my body. I created the universe, but I took the responsibility. And here I am, Comforter, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. A Father. And then Prince of Peace. Of course, it would be on his shoulder because he paid the great price for it. He did it so that, you know, back in this picture, this covenant would be given to us by grace, and we would say, we have received it, not by our merit, but by his incarnation and his work. A few things I'd like to read. Why did he come? He came to reveal God to men. Why did he come? He came to reveal man. I think this is a great point. When we see so many men and women in the world, we think we know what they are. But this is not what man is. When you look at Christ, you find out what man is. He is God's ideal man. He is an example to us. He is an example of and an evidence of what we've been made to be. He is the Almighty God, and I love this meditation of Isaiah 40, who is like me, he said, verse 18, who is like me? I find no God that is like me. That verse in Southeast Asia, where you have a lot of idolatry, really speaks loudly. Look at that demon on the gargoyle on the temple. Look at the demon with the bulging eyeballs and the tongue sticking out and the horns. And you think of God saying, who is like me? Not some static God, but the God that enters into the universe. And this is another good point that we should mention. I'll read this piece to you. George MacDonald said, our Lord took a body like ours and lived as a man in order that those who had refused to recognize him in his superintendence and captaincy of the whole universe might come to recognize from the works he did here below in the body that what dwelt in this body was the Word of God. C.S. Lewis refers to this quotation, and he says, there is an activity of God displayed throughout creation, a wholesale activity, let us say, which men refuse to recognize. What he's saying here is, the whole universe is amazing, it's so profound beyond ourselves, the sun coming up, the stars shining, the ocean, and all the animals and insects and all parts of it, and we somehow refuse to believe there is God. So what God did was he became incarnate, living as a man in Palestine, performed the very same things as this wholesale activity of running the universe, but at a different speed and on a smaller scale. In other words, he came here, and in a different speed, a different scale, he showed that he had power over the wind and the water and disease. That he could say a word of wisdom that would give insight into our hearts and draw us to God. In a way, God is too big. Like in the Islamic world, they believe in God, one God, and the Almighty God, and he is so great. He is so big and so far removed, it has so little relevance to my life today. But when he enters in, I have a picture of a diver diving off a cliff. I just want you to look at that for a second. Is it there? Yeah. I think of God. This is a very rough illustration. God, a great and mighty, becoming a man to enter into the water and go deep into the dark water And just for a way of illustration, into the mud, into the bottom, into the cold darkness, into the sin, into death, into the deepest, darkest death, into the dying process, into the disease and every problem man has, that Almighty God imagined in Isaiah 40. And this is Isaiah 40 and then 53. Who has believed our report? Who has believed that Almighty God would become a man? Who would believe that Almighty God would at one point in time live in a body and enter into this world this way? Who would believe our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord? See, this man represents the arm of the Lord. Arm is the saving action of God. The fingers made the universe, but it was the arm that shows us the heart, the nature of that mighty power. With his fingers, he flung out the stars, but with his son, he came and he carries it on his shoulder. A human being who has a shoulder that got in underneath the whole mess. And he dove down in, and then he comes up out of the water like, looking for a breath of air. And there is Christ. That this is God to us. That the mighty God that people cannot get a hold of needed the mighty God to change the speed and the expression so that we could see that he overcomes death by saying, Lazarus, come forth, by multiplying the bread, by giving the parables, by walking in humility, by living 29 years unnoticed in the backside of some dumpy village in the first century, unnoticed and didn't need to be, because our God is not like other gods. Our God is so humble, we cannot imagine it. Our God is such a servant, we cannot comprehend it. Our God is such a counselor, we just love it. Thrive on the counsel. Thrive on the message. Thrive on what the Holy Spirit has to say. Thrive on being a follower. We thrive on the meaning of it. We thrive on the reality of it and the profundity of it. That actually we are here mortal beings. How many people in the world can say, and sit here with such great confidence and say, I have eternal life because of this covenant that God made with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The reason you have eternal life is because he's carrying the whole thing on his shoulder. The reason your sins are forgiven is because he's carrying the whole thing on his shoulder. The reason why this book is the book is because he's carrying it all on his shoulder. The reason why we have any hope today is because he's carrying the whole thing on his shoulder. We're in troublous times. But it's okay, because to God he said, the nations in Isaiah 40, they are a drop in the bucket to me. The seven seas and all the water and the seven great seas that are on the earth, he can hold in the hollow of his hand. All Lebanon, and I measured it out just on the map generally, Lebanon and all the cedars in Lebanon, 75 miles long, 50 miles wide, all on fire. All the trees on fire. And it was an altar of a sacrifice, and all the animals of the field being offered as a sacrifice is nothing to God. This is everything to God. All those things man can do, but this universe is so small compared to God. But it isn't that small that it's insignificant. It is so significant that he came. Look, he came. He dove in. He went to the deepest sea like Jonah. And he referred to himself as being like Jonah. He that descended is the same also that ascended. And when he ascended, he took everything with him. The whole creation went with him. All of redemption is with him. All of the forgiveness is with him. All the grace is with him. All the wisdom is with him. All the Godhead was made flesh. And God himself incarnated on our behalf so that this covenant would not be depending upon us and our conditions, but this covenant would be based upon the Son of God. The Son of God did it. We must preach him, talk about him, love him. I read a story about a man who had a gas station. I think it was in California. He did not have any Jesus signs on his windows. He did not have anything about Jesus displayed at his gas station. But through the years, he served people, pumped their gas, fixed their cars. He did a great job. Many, many people came to Christ through that man. That man had the Spirit of Christ in him. That man could, in the principle, dive in, carry it. That man, like this is what we end up doing in our lives. We end up being in the mess, not running from it. If it's the Lord's will for us to lead us into it and somehow to carry it, because he is the one that has shown us what it means to live with the Spirit of Christ, mind of Christ, and the way of Christ. That gas station owner, when he died, person after person gave testimony of that he was a real Christian. What his spirit was, and how he lived. One time I flew from Ireland and sat next to an Irish woman. It was funny. She's an older Irish woman and sitting there, and she just started the conversation. She said, "What religion are you?" And I thought, nobody's ever asked me that. No, it's a great question. So I tried to avoid all the labels and talk about Christ, and she said, "You know, my daughter lives in New Jersey, and there's somebody in the neighborhood that treats her so well and gives her little gifts and asks her if she needs help, and they call themselves born-again people. What does that mean?" she said to me. Cute. Maybe profound. I like that. You know, how dirty did God get? How willing is he to be here with us in this crazy world and say, "I can do it. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the incarnated God, and I'll not stop being. I'll carry it on my shoulder forever. And in the increase of it, there will be no end. You'll know me more and more. You have the spirit of me, the mind of me forever and ever. I am the God that gets it done. I am the God that will take the responsibility. I am the God that will serve. I am the God that loves." This is our calling, because God has made us members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we consider that verse that you carry it and love you. You have loved us first, wholeheartedly, with all your heart. You've loved us. You have served us, and you don't stop. Forgiving us, you don't stop. Carrying us, you don't stop. washing our feet, you don't stop. Comforting us, you will never stop. You'll never forsake us. You have dove in and went deep to the uttermost, whereby he is able to save us to the uttermost. Being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, without beginning of days nor end of life, without father or mother, Melchizedek, our high priest, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there are folks here that have just started the Christian life, and we just say, grow in grace, learn the nature and the character of God. There are folks here that have walked with you for years, and their life is filled with testimony of this nature of the incarnation in our lives. May when we get up in the morning sense, we are part of the incarnation. I mean, really, it is so. Members of his body, flesh and bones. We are the resurrected Christ. We are members of him. We are have the inheritance not by our conditions on men, but based on the election of God in our decision to believe. Maybe someone here has not decided yet to believe. Well, maybe you never will if you put it off. Come boldly. Run to him. Bow to him. Collapse before him. Trust in him. Whatever words, whatever way to say it, it's just simply him. Him. It's all about him. He did it. Simply trust him. He did it. Believe in him. And say in your heart, Jesus Christ, I trust in you. You came to save me, so I receive it now. I believe that. Help my unbelief. Lead me in faith. Show me the reality. Fill me with your Spirit. Show me what it means. I'll grow in it little by little. I'll make it a priority. I'll listen to what you have to say. I'll learn my Bible little by little by listening. I'll walk by faith. I'll say prayers and see you answer. I will trust you in my heart, believe in you in my heart, and trust in you as my God, for I have no other gods. I put all the false gods away, all the anger gods, the fleshly gods, the selfish gods, the sexual gods, the selfish, the covetous gods. I don't care about them. Who is like unto you? Who is like unto you? No one. Show me, and I'll put all my trust in you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. If you're saying the prayer to believe in Christ, raise your hand, please. The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all here, raise your hand. I want Jesus in my life. Raise your hand, please. Anyone? Thank you, Lord. Anyone? Anyone? Jesus. Jesus. Bless the radio this week with the message. Bless the holidays with the message. We will sow and water, and Lord, give the increase in Jesus' name. Amen.